Let's all pray together. Our gracious and merciful Father, we come before thee this evening. Father, we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we are unworthy to come before thee, for we are so sinful, we are so defiled, and we know who we are and who you are, holy, holy, holy God. Father, therefore, we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and on his merit. So it is our prayer that thou will look down upon us in mercy, and thou will cleanse us afresh, and hear our prayers, and come and dwell among us, and teach us thy way. Father, we thank you for this morning gospel. We thank you for Sunday school. And now we have come before thy word once again. Our Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that thou will come and take control and let thy will be done. We thank you, Father, for hearing us, even as we come praying in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's turn to our first hymn, and we turn to hymn number 162. Hymn number 162. Hymn number 162. We praise, we worship thee, O God, thy sovereign power we sound abroad. And now to our first Bible reading, we turn to Psalm 105. And I'm beginning from verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, unto Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and they came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire on their land. He smote their vines and also their fig trees, and break the trees of their coast. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land, and devoured the fruits of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails, and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word and pray that we all get the understanding. Let's turn to hymn number 105, a hymn rendering of the psalm that we just read. Hymn 105. give thanks to God, invoke His name, and tell the word, and tell the world His grace. Hymn number 105. Taken from Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. And we begin from verse 1. Numbers chapter 9. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at its appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man, wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month at even they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbear to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto the Lord according to the ordinances of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. Ye shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord, and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, and the cloud was taken up in the morning, that then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and grant us all the understanding.
We give a sincere and warm welcome to all who are worshipping with us this evening. This is Grace Reformed Baptist Church, Accra. We suggest that you don't leave after the service as we would like to know you more. This is to those who are visiting us. We would also suggest that each one waits for a few minutes after the service for personal brief prayer before we leave. These are our services and times. Sunday morning gospel service is from 10 to 11:30. And the afternoon Sunday school session is from 3 to 4:30. The evening teaching service is from 6 to 7:30. Our prayer meetings are held on Tuesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. and our Bible studies are held on Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Our pastor, Anthony Bentumenin, is currently in Cape Coast preaching at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, our sister church. It's now time for our offerings for the Lord's work.
Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for these our offerings which we bring before thee, that thou will bless it and use it for the furtherance of thy own kingdom work. Our Heavenly Father, once again we come to praise and glorify thy name. You are the God of our forefathers, the God who brought our forefathers from Egypt to Canaan with a mighty hand, through so many miraculous ways. And Father, you are the God who continue to take us through this wilderness that we are going through now. Our Heavenly Father, in all our ways we acknowledge you. We know that you are the God of infinite majesty. You are the God of power. Besides you, there's no other God. The human mind cannot even comprehend what you can do. So, Father, as we come before thee, accept our praises, accept our thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for all thou hast done for us and continue to do for us. We thank you for the many, many answers to our prayers. We thank you, Father, for the good health we have enjoyed. We thank you for thy providence, Father, that in all our situations, Father, when we turn to you, you are ready to help us. Thank you for your guidance, Almighty. We live in a world of evil, a world of disappointment. Father, we know that when we trust in you, all shall be well with us. So, Almighty, turn down, look down upon us this evening, and accept our thanksgiving which we offer to you. Father, we thank you for our church, especially our local church, Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Ekomogie. Thank you for all our services and our ministries. Father, we thank you for all that was enabled us to do in the past few months that we have been here. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we cannot even express our thanksgiving. The children that have given us and continue to do, even this afternoon, Father, the new discoveries. Our Heavenly Father, we are most grateful that we have become instruments of bringing these children up in a godly way, knowing and believing as thou hast said, and when they grow, they will not depart from it. Father, we thank you for the parents who allow them to come. We thank you for the resources thou hast granted us. We thank you for the men who have given their time and their resources to keep this church going. Father, we know that all these are from you, and we are most grateful. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our ministries, other ministries, our gospel ministry especially. Father, this is the means you have appointed to save lost souls. And therefore, we are most grateful that we are able to go out to share tracts. We are able to go out to witness unto people in the community. Father, even we thank you for yesterday, that we were once again able to go out and speak to many, many, many people. Father, we also thank you for our evening teaching services, our Wednesday evening teaching service, our Tuesday prayer meeting, our Sunday teaching. Father, we thank you for all these things, that even as we continue to come, Father, we will grow spiritually in them and be well equipped for every good work that will be assigned unto us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the brethren who were able to go to Cape Coast yesterday. We thank you for travel mercies, for their going and their coming back. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these things and even many, many more that we should thank you for. And now, Father, we continue to pray and pray for your protection, especially for these children, that we continue to pick week by week and to take them back to their homes. Father, we pray for safety for those who walk to their homes, those who we are able to transport. Father, we commit all of them to your hands, that thou will bless them and guide them and direct them. We pray for their parents who allow them to come. That, Father, if there is a chance that any of them that have not come to learn about the true salvation, it is our prayer, even through this ministry, through these children, they will come to know you. Father, we commit every member of this church into your hands. We pray for your guidance and for your protection and for your direction. Father, we pray for peace and love and harmony to prevail among all of us. We know that there will be attacks, there will be persecutions, there will be misunderstandings. Father, in all of them, we pray for wisdom to be able to go through them. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for our other churches, and we have in mind those of the Reformed faith and even those of the fundamentals. Father, we commit everyone into your hands, that thou will continue to guide them and direct them and to encourage those who need encouragement and to support those who need support and provide for those who need thy providence. Our Heavenly Father, what else can we say? We know that our hope and our trust is in you and in you alone. Therefore, once again, we have come before thee. This evening, we have come before thy throne of grace. We have come to seek thy face. As we come to worship thee, Father, we also come to learn of thee. We pray, therefore, that thou will come and prepare our hearts and our minds, take distractions away, and speak thy word, thy word which has the power to change, thy word which is a lamp unto our feet, that we will learn thy word this evening and be able to apply them in our lives. Father, come and take control. Come and let thy word be done. For our hope and our trust is in you and in you alone. We thank you, Father, for hearing us, even as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our third hymn, hymn number 545. Master, speak, thy servant heareth, heareth, waiting for thy gracious word. Hymn number 545.
Thank you.
turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And to verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And our title this evening is Being Led by the Spirit. Being Led by the Spirit. I'm going to take many lessons from the accounts in Numbers where we read the pillar of fire and cloud. Christians are a people who have called themselves to be led by God, and God guides them through the Holy Spirit. We know that all what was happening in the Old Testament were for our lessons. Egypt in the Old Testament referred to this world. The wilderness refers to our journey to Canaan, and Canaan refers to heaven. And the secret of guidance is taught in this type that we are going to talk about today. As Christians and as people in this world, we need God's guidance, because we can never guide ourselves. You don't even know how you came into this world. How can you guide yourself? We need the Almighty to guide you and to direct you in all our ways. And as we go through these stories, we see how God guides us and how we should commit our lives unto God for His guidance. For the young people, there's a book called Steps for Guidance, written by Dr. Matthew. If you see it anywhere, you try and buy it. It shows you how God guides us in this world. In any major decision that you take, you need God's guidance to protect you and to lead you. And from the story, let's go to the story again and then see how the lesson that we can learn from it. These people that God gave the fire, the pillar of fire and of cloud by night, were people that had been redeemed from Egypt. We all know the account how the Israelites through their forefathers came to live in Egypt and became slaves, how they were tortured, all what they went through, and God used Moses and Aaron to bring them out of Egypt into a land that He has promised. And this is what I said, we too, we find ourselves in this bondage in this world, and Christ has come to save us from this world. And Christ guides us, directs us through the Holy Spirit. So these were people who were separated, and they were in the wilderness of Sinai after they came out from Egypt. And we also learn from verse 15, it says, the resting place of the cloud was over the tabernacle, which also means that the Spirit finds rest in Christ. Remember where we read in Romans chapter 8? We say that it is those who are led by the Spirit who are the children of God, who are the sons of God. If you are not led by the Spirit, you are not a child of God. And that is how it was always. The Spirit finds rest only in Christ. And then we also saw, we learned about the cloud by day and fire by night. The cloud was always covering them by day. And the surprising thing is that when the light gives them light, the fire gives them light in the night, it gives the people who were chasing them, you know, the sort of when they left Egypt and they were going and they were pursuing them. The light, the fire gave them light, and it gave darkness to those who were following them, so they can't find them. See how God guides us. The fire, the same fire, gave them light so that they can see their way through. The same fire blinds those who were behind them, their enemies. So we see how God can protect us from our enemies. The same fire, and God uses in twofold, and by day, an appearance of office by night. And there's one thing that we should take care of. It says, at the commandment of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord. And it's mentioned about seven times from verse 17 to verse 22. We can't turn them all, but if you look at verse 18, it's mentioned twice. Verse 20 is mentioned twice, and I think verse 23 is mentioned thrice, the commandment of God, which is emphasizing that we should always obey the commandment of God. And when we are taking guidance from God, we should only act when God commands us. We should obey when God commands us. And as we read from the story, even when the light stays for day, they will stay for all those days, for a year, for months, they will stay. There are people who, when they pray, sometimes you hear that the charismatic praying, and they say, we want it now, not commanding God, but they want it now. But this is telling us that even when we pray to God, we have to leave it with God, because God can say, I will give you today, or tomorrow, or I will even give you. It is for Him, it's according to His sovereignty, that He will give us. You can never, never command God to give you something right now. Sometimes we even pray for things that we don't need. It's God who knows what we need. So we should always wait on the Lord. Even if you pray, you have to wait on the Lord for the right time for Him to give you what you have asked for. And that is example we see here. They will wait until the movement of the cloud or of the light, whether days or months or years, they were prepared to wait. And the cloud indicated the will of God, verse 17 to 22. You see, they moved, they journeyed, and when it rested, they also waited. When it moves, they move. When it rested, so it means they were obeying the commandments of God. It is the will of God. You should always look at the will of God. Even the Bible says, when you pray according to the will of God, He will answer you, not according to your will. You have to pray according to the will of God. Like, God wants everybody to be saved. So I don't see why, if you pray to God to save you, He won't save you. But if you pray for things for yourself, God might not give you. But so you have to pray according to the will of God. The cloud indicated the will of God. The Lord said, move, and they move. Stay, and they stay. Wait, and they wait. And verse 22 says that sometimes it rested a long time, whether it be 2 days or a month or a year, they will wait. So we always have to wait on the Lord, regardless of the situation. Even if you are suffering, even if you are sick, and you pray to God, it is for Him to either heal you or to leave you. Whatever God gives you is good as a Christian, and you have to obey it and wait on it. And verse 21 says, they obey by day or night at once. Whether it is by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they obeyed. And it is also a lesson to us that in whatever situation you are, you should obey God. Whether you are in poverty, whether you are in riches, whether you are in sickness, you should always obey God. For God knows that He is your creator. He knows what you are going through, and He will see you through. And then verse 13 to 22, He said that the cloud was never taken away. The cloud was never taken away. The cloud was always with them. We can turn to Exodus chapter 13 verse 22 to see what it says about the cloud being with them all the time. Exodus chapter 13. He said, He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He never took it from them. It was always with the people. He never took it from the people. And it is the same thing. God never, never takes His grace or His guidance from us. Other lessons that we can learn from this account is that the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherds, lead the flock by means of the Holy Spirit that He has put within us. Remember when He was going, He said He would send the Spirit as a comforter to come and comfort us. And we have already read from Romans that those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those who have not the Spirit are none of His. We just read it from Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and also verse 14. So the pillar of cloud and fire is a great type of the Holy Spirit. See what he said in Psalm 105, verse 39. He said, "He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night." This shows that the pillars have been both of a comfort and of a guide. Sometimes our Muslim friend will tell you that when Christ was going, he said that he would send Muhammad. When he said he would send the comfort, he said the comfort to be Muhammad. But if you look at what it's saying here, the Holy Spirit came to comfort us and to guide us through this life, through our sanctification. The Holy Spirit never came to give us power to do things that we want to do, as it being preached somewhere else. Now, people judge you by your speaking in tongues or by your revelations to say that the Holy Spirit dwells among you. No, the Holy Spirit comes, the main purpose of the Holy Spirit is to comfort and to guide you. Most of the time, when we meet our charismatic friends and we talk about Christ, sometimes we all agree at certain points. When it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit, that is where the problem is. But here we can see that the pillar of clouds and the fire is a type, a typical type of the Holy Spirit. And what it does is to comfort and to guide us. Like I said, it gives light to the people and darkness to the enemy. It tells them to move and tells them to stay, which is guidance and comfort. So the two chief offices of the Spirit are to comfort and to guide. You can read John 14, verse 16, verse 26, 15, 26, 16, verse 7. It all tells you about the comfort and the guide being the chief reason why the Holy Spirit was given to us. And one other lesson we learn is that this protection were for people who have been redeemed from Egypt and were in the wilderness. In the same way, it's for the saved, those who are saved. You can't go on saying that no weapon formed against me can stand and all those things when you are not being saved. You have to be a saved people. These are the people who have been brought from Egypt. And it is also for us who have been saved from this wicked and sinful world, whose sins have been forgiven them and have come to be sons of God. The unsaved, they wander in this world without any guideless and lawless, going their own way and only end in darkness. The saved follows God and is guided by God. The good shepherd, according to Psalm 23, he will guide you even in the shadow of the shadow of death. He will be with you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He has never said that we will never have problems in this world. He has said there will be problems we will go through, but in all of them, he will be with us. And this is a typical example that throughout the wilderness, he followed them. When they needed water, he gave them water from the rock. When they asked for meat, he gave them quails. When they ask for food, he gave them manna from heaven. So there's nothing that God cannot give you. You have to just look up to him. He will protect you and he will direct you. And number two, the leading of the Spirit is not the same as following the natural light of conscience. Like I said, you have to. Many worldly men, they live by their conscience. What their mind tells them is what they do. The Spirit lives by the Holy Scriptures. We live by the Scriptures. You read the Word, you wake up in the morning, you pray, you commit your life to God. Whatever happens to you, you know that you are giving your life to God. And God knows, and He will protect you. The unsaved do not do that. They trust in their own conscience, and they live on their own. They are not enlightened. They don't live by the Scriptures. Even now, people are pushing the Bible away and believing more in revelations. They are not seeking the guidance that comes from the Scriptures. They are seeking guidance from so-called prophets and apostles to tell them what will happen to them in their future. If you have God in you, what do you fear? If God is guiding you from what we are seeing now, He leads you, He guides you, He comforts you. Why do you need to go to another person to pray for you, to tell you about your future? Why do you want to know your future? Are you not trusting God? He created you. He knows the beginning of your life to the time that you die. So you need to seek His guidance and protection. And you can discover them in the scriptures. And as we heard, at the commandment of the Lord, they move. A believer should see that he does not act on his own. He must have guidance. He must keep the charge of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord. When God commands, we live by His commandment. And we must look up if we are to see the cloud. Because if the cloud moves and they are not looking up there, how would they know that they can also move? In the same way, we don't have to look at things in this world. Even if you have a problem, don't look at the problem. Look up to heaven. Look up to Christ. He's bigger than any problem. If you are looking at the problem, then you become more scared. You become more threatened. But if you are looking up to God, you know that there's nothing. Look at what He did for them from Egypt to Canaan. He opened the Red Sea for them to pass through. He gave them, He did all sorts of things. So there's no situation that we are in now that God cannot protect us or God give us. So why do you have to seek guidance from somebody? Why do you even want to know your future? There's no need to know your future. Just look up to Him as they were looking up to the clouds and moving. And then you are assured of God's will if you move like that. For the flesh is restless. As for our flesh, it's restless. It's only faith that can overcome it. And that is why you say, wait only on the Lord. We have to wait on the Lord and on Him alone. Those who never wait, who don't wait on the Lord, always end up in tragedy. We have an example of Abraham. Abraham tried to hurry God up. When God told the wife Sarah that he would give birth, even at that age, because they did not believe, Abraham went to sleep with the maidservant and had a child. And we all know the problem of the child even up to today. We know all the problems in this world now is coming from these Arab people. And this man is from that country. If Abraham had waited, when God said he would give him Isaac, he wouldn't have gone through all these things. So this is a typical example of people who hurry God up. People who say, God, give me this now. Give me this now. And don't wait on the Lord. It leads to tragedy. We have to wait on the Lord. Because in the long run, after he had had Ishmael, the promise came. Isaac came. But then it was too late. Ishmael had come and caused all the problems we are facing in the world now. And King Saul also, he forced himself to act before God's time and lost his crown. Because he forced himself on God. You can read that from Genesis 16, from 1 to 3. That is that of Abraham. And the Saul one, you can read from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. We must also be obedient when the cloud does move. If we know God's will, we must do it. If you delay, light will turn into darkness. If you know God's will, you have to act on it. Don't delay. And one other thing that we should take very good note of is that the grace of God never taking away the cloud away. The grace of God is never taken away from us. It is by grace we are saved. It is by grace that we are taken through our sanctification. Throughout this world, it will still be by grace. So God's grace is never taken away from us. Even if we sin against Him, even if we go wrong against Him, God is God. What He has promised to do, He will do. And we saw it. The Father, the cloud and the fire were there all the time. That didn't mean that these others never sinned. They displeased God. But yet God had the light and the fire all the time. An example in the Bible is when Moses left the children of Israel to go and pray. And then because he was waiting, he was keeping long, they made a golden calf and were worshipping the golden calf. God was very, very angry, and yet never took his grace from them. And the Holy Spirit, which he has promised to give us. Even when they tried to stone Moses, the cloud remained. They tried to stone Moses when they were in the wilderness. If you read Exodus chapter 17, verse 14, it tells you about that. They tried to stone him, and in all of this, the cloud, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire was still with them, which also means that the grace of God is always with us. He abides with them forever and ever. Christ abides with us forever and ever. Let's turn to John 14 and verse 16. Say, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So the comforter abides with us forever. God can never change. What he has said he will do, he will do. It is we who change. It is all of us that always disappoint God. But God never disappoints us. What he says he will do, he will do. He gives us his grace, and the grace is with us forever and ever. So from this account and from what we have learned, you can judge yourself. Are you led by the Spirit? You must ask yourself, are you being led? Are you a true child of God? Or you are still wandering in darkness? And if you are a child of God, are you learning the secret of guidance to wait on God? And when you know his will, you obey. As a child of God, the only thing you can do to please God is to look for his will and obey it. This afternoon, I was telling my children that because Adam disobeyed God, we are all going through what we are going through. So to have the love of God back, what we have to do is to obey God. Disobedience led Adam to where he is now. Obedience leads us to Christ. And as he has promised, he will be with us forever and ever. And he will be our God, and we will be his people. Ask him whatever you want. And if it's according to his will, he will give you. He will protect you and direct you. And there's no situation that he will never take you through. You can also read this following verses. Psalm 23 verse 1, Romans chapter 8 we have read already, Psalm 119, Psalm 105, which is all talking about the guidance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And my prayer this evening is that we all obey God and trust him and obey him, live according to his will, and not trust in our own conscience, not trusting in anything that we can do in this world, but to trust in him. And in him alone. For he has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is the God who can never lie. So whatever he has said, he will do it. Let's pray together. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this evening. Father, we thank you for your guidance and protection over us, as thou hast shown in this account of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Our Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that thou will bless these things in our hearts, that will continue to trust and hope in you and in you alone, knowing that hope in you does not lead to disappointment. Father, we thank you for hearing us, even as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Now into our last hymn. We turn to hymn number 544. Hymn number 544. hymn number 544. Be with me, Lord, wherever I go. Teach me what thou will have me to be. Govern what I think or say. Hymn number 544. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a day. Father, we thank you for our morning service. We thank you for Sunday school. We thank you for our teaching services. And Father, it is our prayer that thou will bless all these services, that in the end, thy name will be glorified and we shall be blessed. Father, we commit our lives into your hands even as we go our separate ways and to begin another working week. That thou will be with us, thou will guide us, thou will direct us, and help us to obey you in everything we do. That in the end, your name will be glorified and we shall be blessed. Father, we thank you for hearing us in all these things, even as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.